Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. I'm your host, Jeffrey Wright. As always, you can listen on the radio dial, 92.9 FM, 680 AM. But if you're away from the radio dial, you can listen right here on the Odyssey app. You can also stream us on the TuneIn Radio app as well as the iHeart Radio app. George Ruggiero is the producer of the program. You can follow him on the Everything app at KingGeorge94. George, good day, sir.
Good day, Jeffrey.
My company is each and every Thursday on the program, although next week he'll be our company on Tuesday, since we will be celebrating the greatest holiday on the entire calendar a week from Thursday. He writes about college football, college basketball for CBS Sports. You can follow him on the Everything app at David W. Cobb. Cobb, good day, sir.
Good day. I can't help but notice there's still nowhere to follow you on the Everything app.
Still nowhere. No update. I think this might be the weekend that we just kind of bite the bullet and we start the other account.
Okay. Yeah, it's a time for a fresh start, a new opportunity to create a new version of you.
Yeah, exactly. We built that brand. It's time to build a new brand.
You should go hard with like vertical videos, you know. Best of the day.
No, maybe that's what I'll do. I just won't. Maybe I'm done with Twitter. Maybe I'm done with the Everything app. Maybe like I should just become the TikTok guy.
I'd be the TikTok guy. I could. Yeah. I mean, you know what? Like there's a real, real absence of 35 to 39 year old.
Yeah.
You know,
listen,
graying sports personalities on there. So you could really fill a niche, I think.
Yeah, I'm expanding the waistline. And my audience.
For sure.
Yeah,
there's so many chances here for you to reinvent yourself.
Yeah.
I think, this is a pivotal moment. This could be a turning point.
Yeah. I need to like get into something. Like what's something obscure that can be my thing?
Well, the Winter Olympics are coming. You could like really get into covering curling.
Or I'm very much a Daniel Tosh on this one. Like the Winter Olympics stink.
Really? You don't get into the,
I will say this. I'm fired up that hockey's back.
I just love the music. The dun-dun.
It's a great.
Dun,
it's some
dun,
of John dun, Williams' dun. Best.
I just need to see like Mike Tirico like welcoming me with some panoramic views to a beautiful part of the world that I'll never go and see myself. Like that's why I watch the Olympics, is just for like the
you
ambiance.
You can make it to Torino. It's basically like an hour away from Milan.
Yeah, I mean, I have been to Italy, so
yeah,
I guess probably...
this is one of the more accessible. But like when they go to like some mountain in like South Korea, it's like I'm never going there.
That's true. Yeah, I do aspire to one day go to an Olympics. That's a bucket list thing for me, but it is so crazy expensive because all the accommodations and the travel surrounding the Olympics, whether winter or summer, they go through the roof, and like going on an international trip is already not cheap. So like this will probably be like once I retire sort of thing, but definitely on the bucket list, go to an Olympics.
I wonder if Giannotto's covering it.
USA Gannett, network, they send a lot of people typically, or at least a handful.
So Jeff covered the, was it Pyeongchang?
Wow.
Is that the last one? Let's see. We had Paris and Tokyo. Is there, and what do we have in between? What was the Winter Olympics in between? The one in China. Remember we made it up. Remember we just like made up like a they basically made like a Disney World Winter Olympics. Like
I think it was technically Beijing.
Yeah, yeah. Because like there was no reason to have a Winter Olympics there other than just China wanted the Olympics.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure that by the way, I'm sure that one was good, clean. Like they just won that bid. I'm sure there was nothing shady about that at all.
Yeah, there's like nothing has lost its luster in sports quite like being a host city like for the Olympics. It's now become a thing that everybody like kind of hates. Like, oh, we're spending billions in tax revenue to build stadiums that'll be used twice. Like that's, I think people are realizing it's kind of a scam.
Well, I think the question is going to be, what do the financials look like for Paris? Because it seems like Paris is starting the trend that it seems like LA is going to try to copy, which is don't build anything new. Like, don't build, to your point, like, you don't need to be building these $2 billion stadiums that will never get used again. Like the ones in Rio.
Rio. Like there's all these beautiful stadiums just sitting empty and dilapidating.
Right. So it seems like what Paris tried to lay the groundwork of was use the buildings you have. Maybe you have to retrofit them a little bit, but that's minimal compared to. And it seems like maybe the bigger deal now is that the Olympic Committee's not going to these cities and demanding that, hey, you build all these stadiums. It's probably related in that fashion, because I think what was starting to happen, to your point, was like the great cities that you actually would want to host these things in, they're like, yeah, we're not going to do that. And so this maybe is a way, because it does feel like the city lists have gotten better the last couple of years.
Well, I mean, who's to say we can't do Memphis 2040, man?
Speaking of Twitter things, that used to be my, like, 2028? It was like Memphis 2028, why not?
Yeah, I think they're going to that's the LA year. But I mean, 2036, 2040, you could kayak down the Mississippi. You play soccer out of Mike Rose. You got the FedEx Forum for basketball right there, ready to use. Retrofit the Mid-South. This is finally the chance for the Mid-South Coliseum.
Yeah, we could finally do something with the Coliseum.
Yeah, exactly. You could have indoor.
Other than knock it down, which we should have done many, many years ago.
Oh, come on! I think our local leadership needs to really to embrace this opportunity.
Maybe then we could get enough money to actually renovate the Forum in a way that would force the Grizzlies to sign a lease.
I'm just saying, I think we're on to something here. Memphis 2040.
This is our plan.
You think hosting the 96 Olympics radically changed the landscape of Atlanta forever, you know, and turned Atlanta from just a whatever southern city into one of the nation's, you know, metropoli. And now
one of the nation's leading cookie cutter bank cities.
Yeah. Yeah. Most horrible, like worst traffic. Yeah. Just exploded with interstates and all that. So
would you rather
want that in Memphis, but
would you rather do a weekend in Atlanta or a weekend in Charlotte?
Oh gosh, I mean they're kind of the same, right? It's just these like southern boom cities that have no infrastructure and very little into like real culture, you know?
Yeah, like they're objectively nice, but yeah. there's no vibe at all.
Like am I gonna get fired up for the NASCAR Hall of Fame in Charlotte? I mean,
ooh,
I've been there before, actually.
Which one's better, though, the College Football Hall of Fame or the NASCAR Hall of Fame?
I mean, neither one of them blow your socks off. I don't think either one of them holds a candle to Cooperstown. I mean, I like college football more, so I'll go with college football. I don't even think the College Football Hall of Fame is, like, overwhelming, though, honestly.
I think you're right. Cooperstown's the best, right? My brothers, they've done the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I've never been to Canton.
Yeah, I mean, I've never been
Cooperstown's
to...
Cooperstown's pretty awesome.
I went to Cooperstown as a kid, but I've never been to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I'm trying to think, what other notable halls of fame have I been to?
I can tell you right now, I'm probably never going to the Basketball Hall of Fame.
Where is it?
I think it's Springfield, Mass.
Yeah, that's kind of off the beaten path a little.
Which I don't even know. Springfield, Mass, like, is that one of those places, like, it's like... With all due respect to the fine people of Massachusetts, it's like, if it's not Boston, you got to tell me, how far is that from Boston? Because If it's more than like 45 minutes, there's no chance I'm ever going.
Yeah, it is. I think it's about an hour and a half, if I recall correctly. So I'll probably never go to that one.
Well, like you're probably only chance. Remember they used to have like a kickoff, like they used to like have the college, like one of the first college basketball games that they would do in like coincided with the Hall of Fame. And then now that every MTE has to be NIL, like an NIL event, like now I'm sure like there's no way the Basketball Hall of Fame is spending any money on players.
Yeah, probably not.
All right, speaking of, so we'll do a tasting menu here in just a moment. Eric Hasselstein's going to join us during the next segment. Get into the list. Jason Smith during hour number two. All right, so let's start with today. 5 p.m., we got Tigers and Purdue on what many are saying is the greatest cable channel in the history of the world, CBS Sports Network.
Let's go.
We've also got Louisiana Lafayette. I refuse to play their game. Louisiana Lafayette at Arkansas State. Matt Barry was just in what appeared to be like the rec center in Jonesboro. That was pretty...
Cut out.
That was,
yeah, where's Matt Barry going to go play golf in Northeast Arkansas in mid-November?
I wonder if they played... Well, I can tell you this. It may not matter. It's been raining all day.
Oh, yeah. It is kind of nasty. Have you ever played that state park, though?
It's not bad.
Yeah, it's pretty good. There's 27 holes there. It's actually... I'm struggling for the name, but it's a pretty good setup.
What is that one right there in Jonesboro? I would imagine, though, what they would normally do is probably play somewhere here and then drive over to... Because I'm sure they flew into Memphis.
Yeah. But if you're driving from Memphis to Jonesboro, you stop at the ridges at Village Creek.
There it is.
Yeah, which is Wynn, Arkansas. I got a lot of ancestry coming from that direction.
And, also, that course at Marion that's like right there on I-40.
Oh, yeah, I know. Like, hey, during COVID,
I was going to say, if you ever actually... Like, is that what it's like? I wonder what that place is like. It looks like every... golf course built in like the late 80s, early 90s with just like apartments around it where you know there's going to be some hole that actually is like a 90 degree, like just so that they could use that land for more apartments.
And there is so much water out there.
Oh, okay, my God.
So during COVID, you know, I lived on North Main. So I lived like 2 minutes from the Hernando de Soto Bridge. So I actually joined there for a year and then it changed.
Oh, that's right.
We were moving town. It was the closest golf course to me.
Well, didn't you basically say like all they charged you was like you joined. Basically, all you had to do was just pay for your cart.
It was $130 for all you could play with a cart. And I didn't have to pay an initiation fee.
What a deal.
They had a pool. They had a workout room. They had a driving range. Like, I mean, it was awesome. I have no idea what it costs now. And they've changed the name and it's all different. But like, man, that's where I got good at golf again. Because like, you know,
during the pandemic did one of two things with golf. You could have gone the direction I did, which was playing golf with the styrofoam in the cups was so depressing to me. Mm-hmm. Like it got to the point where like I was depressed going to the golf course. And then the other direction was people just got obsessed again.
Well, and the great thing was there was no COVID in Marion. I mean, they didn't
have 100%. Like it stopped right at the river blocked it. Just like the river blocks tornadoes, it blocked it. It blocked COVID too.
It really did.
Trust the science. But
man, I tell you, that wind, it howls. If you ever go and play at Marion, that wind is fierce coming off that river.
There's just
bro.
Nothing blocking it. Like it's just flat.
It is like Link style, water on every hole. You know, bring your nitros because you ain't want to be playing Pro V1s out there, man.
That was the other great thing about playing at Stream Song. The other whatever when I went with my dad and brothers, every lost ball you found was a Pro V. I was thinking, I bet there are more Pro V1s per capita on this golf course than there are anywhere in the world, like including the tour.
Cha-ching, cha-ching.
Like everyone, it's like Pro V. It's like, who needs an X? Got one.
a little different to Marion.
Yeah. Who's got the, is that the 24 Pro V? Is that the one where the X and then the regular flipped? Like, which one's firmer? Mm-hmm. I got plenty over here. All right. So then we'll talk about that Tiger Purdue game. We also have Grizzlies hosting the Kings. It appears, George, are we official? No, Jaren?
Not officially. Still listed as doubtful. Haven't gotten an update.
All right, so we got that at 7, and then we got Bills at Texans at 7:15. So overall, not a bad Thursday. I think let's start here. Is there any result tonight between Tigers and Purdue that will change, that will make you feel one way or the other about the Tigers strongly or negatively?
Well, yeah, obviously, if they were to spring the upset, I would feel a lot different about them. I don't see that happening, which is exactly why.
So Jeff and I were talking about this morning. Is there a path other than simply this? Purdue misses everything and Memphis makes everything.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, that's probably the best. But like, you're just not going to line up possession by possession.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like, can you see a formula other than shooting disparity?
Well, here's the problem with Memphis against Purdue. It's that Memphis is going to try to play relentless pressure defense. One, their defense is just awful right now. It's just a horrible defensive basketball team right now. But even let's say they were to get their up-tempo pressure defense really firing on all cylinders, it's going to be hard to turn over a Purdue team that has arguably the best point guard in America on its team. With Braden Smith running the show, I mean, they're not going to go out there and commit 19, 20 turnovers. I mean, prove me wrong, and by all means, if you do, well done. I just don't see that because, I mean, Braden Smith's one of the most sure-handed, veteran-savvy guards in college basketball. I don't think you're going to fluster him. The best way to do that would be to get the ball out of his hands, to trap him in the backcourt, make him pass the ball up the floor, and then those guys make mistakes. And maybe there's something there. If you can pull that off, then more power to you. And then the other problem is, I mean, right now with Aaron Bradshaw being a total non-factor, Purdue has one of the best front courts in college basketball. And going to feast like they did against Alabama. I mean, Purdue killed Alabama on the interior and on the glass. And so, I mean, that's a big area of concern too, because, I mean, I love Simon Mahak right now as much as the next guy. But, like, good luck going out there and bruising with Trey Coffin-Wren and Daniel Jacobson, who's basically Zach Edey's size. I mean, this is a bear of a Purdue team that Memphis has to play.
Have you scrolled over on KenPom to the continuity tab?
Memphis has to be last, right? They have to be last.
Well, what's hilarious to me was if you go and you scroll from the top, Purdue is 8th, and, like, the 7 schools in front of them are basically military institutes, 2 Ivy League schools, and then, like, 2 MAC schools.
Right.
And then it's Purdue. So, like, when everyone else is, like, the only schools that are able to keep, which you think about it, it's like, well, yeah, of course the military institutes, like, that's going to be, they're going to have roster continuity. Like, basically their turnover is graduation. So they're always going to have continuity. It makes sense with the Ivy Leagues because for the most part, I don't even think they can take transfers, can they? Some guys have transferred out.
No, the Ivies cannot.
Yeah, so I don't think they can even play the game. And then it kind of makes sense with the MAC schools. It's like, all right, the ones that they, like, it's, I guess Miami of Ohio has a decent basketball program, but it's kind of like all right, these aren't really the rosters that people are rating.
Right. They're sort of in purgatory. Yeah, okay, so I just looked at it on the other side. So Memphis has 0% continuity, 0.0%, and that ties them for last because there are, it looks like, a total of 20.
Yeah.
Memphis and 19 others who didn't return a single player. And I've not done the math on this, Jeffrey, but I am willing to bet that, let's say, of those 20, I'm going to guess 16 or 17 of them are probably first-year coach situations. That would actually be really interesting to go and tally that up. But I mean, wow, what a dichotomy, right? When you're talking about Purdue, basically, of all the high major teams in college basketball, they have more continuity than anyone. And then you're playing a Memphis team, which of teams that made the NCAA tournament last year, I think you could look at it that way and say, outside of New Mexico and Maryland, I mean, they are the one that brings no one back.
All right. I got no idea what New Haven – I didn't even know New Haven was D1. Did you?
I think they're pretty new on the block, yeah.
I know nothing about Western Illinois.
The Leathernecks? Come on.
Do they have a new coach?
No, they don't.
Okay, I do know West Virginia's got a new coach.
They do, yes. Maryland has a new coach. Indiana has a new coach. They're in that.
Riverside?
Riverside, I think, has a new coach, yeah.
Yes, because, you know, Bakersfield, my guy Rod had to – had to get thrown out with the assistant. That
did you see he was back at
they
the
honored
tad
him.
Pad?
They honored him for the last tad pad game. Rod Squad, were, baby. If you can't see, stand up.
It was his two schools playing against each other.
Yeah, well, he was supposed to be coaching.
Well,
and they had like a they had the old scandal that actually is not his fault, but it was his assistant, and you know what I mean?
I mean, I was shocked when I Wikipedia'd Rod Barnes the other day. I thought he was going to be like 76, and I was like, whoa, he's not even 60 yet? I mean, that guy's been around in basketball like for my whole life in pretty prominent roles.
I think he got the job at Ole Miss. See, 97. I want to say he wasn't even 40 yet.
Yeah, I mean, he must have been super young when he got the job. But, I mean, that's just like my childhood memories of watching Ole Miss basketball and Jefferson Pilot Sports. Like, he was there, and he kind of – I mean, he didn't look young, at least in my memory. So I was like, wow, he's actually not even 60 yet. Like, I don't know if he'll ever coach again, but he probably could.
I never knew if he was fat or if he was just so much. Like, because remember, like, he was, like, fit. Because he played basketball at Ole Miss. But, like, it looked like he had this huge gut. But, like, I don't ever think he did. I think he has one now. But, like, I don't know. His physique always confused me.
Well, it's like, all right, you watched Illinois last night, Kylan Boswell. He's sort of that stockier guard, you know, and then you get him 15 years after the playing career, and he's probably, like, medically speaking, probably not, like, super overweight, but you just, when you have that Desmond Bane build, you carry it a little different, you know?
By the way, speaking of that Illinois game, can you remember a last 60 seconds that took longer than that last night?
Oh, gosh. It actually took so long that I had it recording and started watching it in the when the game was actually in the second half. I started at the beginning and then I caught up there at the end. It took, I will say college basketball has done better this year because the replay reviews have to be initiated by coaches challenge for the most part. And that's helped. Doesn't feel like the games are lasting as long, but then you get games like last night where, that one, the last,
do we think they're going to keep it through the tournament? Cause I just find like, I feel like whenever they get to the tournament, they're just going to freak out. Well, what if we got it wrong?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, hopefully it's too late to put the cat back in the bag now because I honestly like it. I think there should be some element of...
I think we've overdone it with replay.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, for the entirety of the existence of organized sports, there's been an element of randomness, which is the instantaneous judgment of an official or an umpire, and we've just totally legislated that out of the game. And I think at the expense of the viewing experience, you know, so it's like, I think at the end of the day, like, yeah, sure. Like in the national championship game, maybe you want to have a clause in place to take a longer look at things, but regular season college basketball, come on, let's get a move on it.
I want to make everything the challenge system.
Yeah, no. Isn't that the rule this year? I mean, don't you have to challenge
I'm saying in every sport.
Oh yeah.
Like we have no, in the end, make it like you like timeouts.
Well, the problem is now we've invested millions in these replay centers that are these beautiful state-of-the-art facilities with 37 monitors and multiple offices, and you got 12 people in there, and they're bringing in catering every night. And, you know, I mean, what does the NBA spend on that Secaucus Center? You know, it's got an absurd amount of money that they've invested into that thing. And you got the ACC Review Center and all this. So, like, now it's
You know what I wanted last Friday night? I wanted a Big Ten replay center because – I needed to hear the justification for the running back that fumbled it and never really, to me, controlled it before going out of the end zone.
You sound like somebody who might have had Minnesota.
I might have had Minnesota in the points. And then the last touchdown where the kid catches it with a foot out of bounds, they're like, stance, or upheld, touchdown. I was like, how?
Like, what were you doing watching Big Ten football on a Friday night? Was MUS off or what?
Oh yeah, we're done, baby.
Okay. What happened? Did y'all lose to one of the Middle Tennessee schools?
Or? Oh yeah. Well, we lost to NBA.
Who okay. then? How turned... bad? How bad was it?
The clock never ran. 41. And no, we did get running clocked at the very end. 41-14.
Okay. Moral victory.
McCauley came to Briarcrest, and Briarcrest is far and away like the best West Tennessee D2 school.
Right.
41-14 as well.
Jeez, and that's without Marshall Manning even in the lineup yet.
No, he's Baylor.
Oh, my bad. I get my Chattanooga schools mixed up.
You got to look up that running back they got. The Division II, it looks not quite as drastic as the Derrick Henry High School, which is still hilarious. Derrick Henry playing 2A football. Like, that was mean, but it's close.
I mean, you would think, though, that, like, surely your Briarcrest can afford at least some level of talent to
Good players, but it didn't matter.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, so Friday, let's see, we got Norvell. Are we just on Norvell watch where it's like if he loses this, we just have to be on, like, you've got to be on patrol on Sundays?
Well, honestly, my theory is that Virginia Tech should be so glad that Florida State took them behind the woodshed last week, because if Virginia Tech beats Florida State, Mike Norvell might get fired last Sunday, and then all of a sudden James Franklin's thinking about going to Tallahassee instead. Well, so I think that was the best thing that ever happened to Virginia Tech, man, getting smacked around by Florida State.
I threw this out there. So were you surprised when you read that Franklin negotiated the buyout and got $9 million?
Yeah, okay, but I guess it makes sense, because if you have the offset language, then you mean you're mainly going to be getting paid from Virginia Tech anyway. And if he knew, he must have known pretty early on, I'm getting back in this cycle, and I'm getting back in at a job that's going to pay me close to what Penn State paid me.
Yeah, so I was just a little surprised, because I thought he was going to try and stick it to Penn State. But what I think happened, because I think Andy Staples has mentioned this, Bielema tried to do this after he got fired at Arkansas. He went and took a job with the Patriots that he was the defensive line coach, but like he took a job with a title that didn't say defensive line coach and
he
gave
was making peanuts.
Yes.
You know.
And Arkansas's whatever their I don't know, you used to call them the Booster Club. Whoever, you know, the Athletic Foundation sued him. And I believe the judge, they settled, but the judge essentially ruled like, you did not take a market level deal.
Interesting.
So what I'm putting two and two together, I've not heard anyone say this. What I think actually happened was, I think Franklin would have liked to have stuck it to Penn State, but I think everyone came like, hey, if we do this, we're going to get taken to court. Let's not waste the money. Because I believe Franklin got Franklin and his legal team got the highest number they thought they could get, and that ended up being $9 million. So I was thinking about it in these terms. And maybe Arkansas's already got their guy, and this is done. But if you're Norvell, do you maybe call and see Arkansas like, hey? Because I think we all were kind of under this guise of, hey, man, if you got this big buyout, make them fire you. And my thing is, if you have the no offset language, sure, I get that. I get why Brian Kelly, like all that. But if you have the offset, I'm not sure you're going to, like, I want to be clear to everyone out there. I am not laughing at $9 million. But when you read the buyout was $49 million, $9 million is a significantly lower figure.
Right.
And so I'm almost wondering, do you call and say, like, hey, can we reset the old clock?
Yeah,
I'm a native son, too.
That would be brilliant, I think, for Mike Norvell. Maybe that's why Florida State hasn't fired him yet. Because if they do fire him, then they're on the hook for whatever the offset would be, which could be a few million dollars. And then he ends up at Arkansas. Well, they're not on the hook for anything.
The only problem with our theory is James Franklin's agent is the same as Mike Norvell's agent. I feel like he probably knows the Florida. Because I'm with you. I think the reason why, because I mean, what, we've been hearing Franklin to Virginia Tech for a month. You may have even been hearing it longer. I think the reason it took so long is because he was kind of trying to keep kicking the can down the road to see if Florida State was going to open. Yeah.
Well, and that could very much still be up in the air. I mean, this could be a thing where Mike Norvell is still figuring that out, because if they finish strong, they finish 7-5. I mean, maybe there's a case
which
to be
is
made.
So sad.
That, like,
by the way, that's so sad that that's finishing strong.
I mean, when you win two games last year, you go from 2-7. I mean, that is a pretty substantial.
It's over a 350% increase.
I mean, it really is. And honestly, like, are you dying to go to Arkansas? Are you just saying, oh, man, I can't wait to go coach at the 14th best job in the SEC when you are firmly at one of the top three jobs in the ACC right now? But, I mean, if they're 5-7, 6-6, whatever, that it's just too uncomfortable maybe. And maybe you do jump and reset the clock. I feel like Arkansas's coaching search has been maybe uncomfortably quiet, felt like they were going to try to make a push for James Franklin there. You've maybe heard Pat Fitzgerald mentioned a little bit, which seemed a little out of the box, maybe.
So I feel like let's go through, because I agree with you. I feel like of all the searches, it is the most quiet. Now,
because to a certain extent, they're at the mercy of the other dominoes that will have to fall before
or
them,
they
unless
just
they want to get creative and just go their own way.
They've had the guy forever.
I mean, that's possible. Like, you know, it's interesting. There's an advantage. Like, okay, so even John Summerall is now getting caught in the crosshairs, right? Because like, when you're Lane Kiffin, you can't be mad that it gets leaked that LSU and Florida are flying your family out or whatever. But like,
when the leak is your son's social media accounts, you can't get mad either.
Well, that's true. But you think about like a far less high profile coach, for example, like Eric Morris.
Sure.
At North Texas. Like, is it going to get out necessarily that he's interviewing or scouting out, you know, an Arkansas job? Probably not.
I don't think we're going to hear a lot of Eric Morris chastising the media for egregious reports.
Yeah, right. Is the Denton Record Chronicle or whatever the paper is in you know, where North Texas is, like, is the North Texas 24/7 and On3 sites like tracking planes? I doubt it, you know?
I mean, let's be real. I assume, with all due respect, we all started somewhere. I assume those sites are being staffed by kids, by students.
I don't even think they exist.
Yeah. That used to be bad. Did y'all ever have this when you were working there? The guy that ran like four sites.
Oh, yeah. You still see that now. Yeah. You still see. Yeah.
They're usually Sunbelt teams, with all due respect to the Sunbelt.
So, you live in Dallas and cover Louisiana Monroe? How does that work?
Yeah.
I can't talk, but.
Yeah. No, there was one time. And again, like, that's the other thing is, like, now that means nothing. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we all, post pandemic, everything was remote. I don't know. I feel like the name that I had heard for a while, but I don't know. It's been a couple of weeks. And truthfully, like, I was trying to explain this to somebody. I cannot remember a coaching carousel that I've dug on less. I think because I just kind of, once I thought Ryan was likely to be the coach next year, I lost a lot of interest. But that Oklahoma State one's been kind of quiet too.
And yeah, I got to think Eric Morris is either going to Arkansas or Oklahoma State. I got it.
I'm with you. Now, I keep hearing that Morris might be eyeing Baylor to see if that opens.
Mm-hmm.
I had heard Kane Womack for Arkansas, but I have no idea. Like, I have no idea. I had heard at one point somebody's like, Kane's going to be the coach and he's going to keep Petrino.
Really? Okay. I mean, that seems a little underwhelming, because we're not talking about a Kirby Smart who's got multiple years of high-level defensive coordinator experience here. I mean, he has been a head coach, but I mean, who's looking at that Alabama defense and saying, oh, if only we could replicate that? I mean, like, they're fine. They force turnovers, but they're not.
So Kane played there.
Well, there you go.
If
you get him on the cheap, then you can put money in the roster. Like, I think Arkansas would be a great place to kind of go for a budget friendly head coaching hire, because like, you need the money to put into the roster.
No, I think that, honestly, that, and again, before Arkansas fans lash at me, I was like, I'm admitting, like, I've not dug on that one, but I actually think, like, look at how, I mean, let's be real, winning in the Sun Belt consistently is hard. I think we can all agree. Like, that's just one of those leagues where turnover is just going to happen. But, like, South Alabama has kind of stunk after him.
Yeah.
Like, I actually think he does a pretty good job, because, like, I'm with you on the defense, but it's like, I just always will believe defense is about dudes. And I don't look at that Alabama defense and go, that's a dude, that's a dude, that's a dude. Like, I don't – to me, it's like the only defense you do that in the SEC right now is, like, Oklahoma's.
Yeah. I don't know. I also feel like somebody like Charles Huff needs a look. Like, it's been way too long since there's been a black coach in the SEC, I feel like. And he's actually a really good coach. And he's turned Southern Miss around instantaneously. Like, they went from 1-11 to, like, probably going to be in the Sun Belt Championship game this year. And we're talking about Southern Miss. It's not like they're just deep with money. And, I mean, I realize he brought his quarterback with him, but.
Who is our last?
I mean, I don't know.
Was there never one after Kroom?
Oh, James Franklin. Well, oh, James Franklin, right?
Vandy. Okay, Mason.
Yeah,
Is Derek Mason our last one?
You've had interims, obviously.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, in terms of full time, I can't. I mean, I'm just blanking, but I can't think of one.
Yeah,
and if you,
I don't want to book Charles to an SEC school because I'm holding out hope that if enough people don't get their first candidates, Ryan can take one of those jobs and then Charles can come coach here.
Oh yeah,
I think he'd crush it here.
Yeah, and I think that would actually be
it makes sense.
It would be a better move too because you'd rather go to the I don't know. I mean, that's tough. Would you rather go to the best job in the American or one of the best two jobs in the American, or would you rather go to one of the two or three worst jobs in the SEC? Like, the money would be better.
I think you have to sit there and say you'd rather go to someone.
Oh yeah. Well, I guess he and Derek Mason were kind of on the same timeline, more or less.
Mason lasted longer, right?
Yeah. Well, Mason was still around until 2020. He got fired during COVID, at which point Jimbo had already been in place at A&M. So.
Yeah. So I think Mason has to be the answer. I think the answer has to be SEC simply because even if you're going to one of the worst jobs, you're probably making $30 million.
Yeah.
And Ryan's making, I think, 2-1, 2-2. I mean, what? The lowest paid SEC coach, I think, was Freeze, wasn't it? And Freeze was making like five and a half, maybe six.
Well, I don't know. I mean, do we know what Clark Lee makes? Like, that's you never know.
I can tell you this. Clark Lee will not be the lowest paid next year.
No. That's the interesting thing about this cycle. So many of these coaches are at their alma mater. I mean, it's just making it really hard to pry away the obvious candidates. I mean, Kenny Dillingham, Brent Key.
I want to ask you this. So before we get to Eric, last thing. Did Dillingham maybe leak that Sam Levitt was it coming back?
Ooh, I like that.
Was that a soft launch of maybe I'll come too?
Well, see, but I saw some of that, and I was like, I don't know about that part of it because I thought he had this remark in one of his press conferences the other day that, oh, I was never leaving. I don't know if you say that if you're then gonna leave. I mean, we've seen it before, but he said it so definitively that, like, oh, I'm never leaving. It could be a, hey, we think this guy's out the door. Either I'm going to leak this to let the boosters know that they got to get serious, or like, hey, we need a quarterback. You know, like, I mean,
because I contend if I'm Ole Miss and Lane leaves, and I'm not saying that, I'm actually weirdly, I think I'm in the camp that the longer this goes on, the more I think he's staying.
I don't know what to think.
To be clear, predicting Lane Kiffin, if you want to get in that business, by all means, have at it. I have accepted from day one that's an exercise in futility. But if I'm Ole Miss and he does leave, I'm taking that $15 million and I'm like, hey, Kenny, here's $12 million. Are you really going to say no?
Yeah.
Because I think Kenny has proven, like, he's got a lot of the makings of, like, what makes Kiffin appealing, but less douchey.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like, in the end, like, you and I can kind of relate to this because I think Kenny's basically your age. Maybe he's in between us. When you've got the young family and you're around not only your parents but your wife's parents, it's kind of nice.
Yeah.
It's helpful. And I get it. He's got way more money than either of us have. And I there's this idea, though, I think that, like, money can just solve everything. It's like, no, they go through the same things we all do. Like, it's,
I mean,
just
they gotta
nice.
Change the diapers.
It's kind of nice to have hands around.
Yeah, I just don't see Kenny Dillingham leaving this cycle after some of the things he said. But
I think I'd
make him say no.
Exactly. I think I'd throw the money in. All right. We also got Grizzlies Kings tonight. Of course, you can hear it right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Right with pregame at 6:30. Tip off with Eric at 7. Let's talk to him next. Right here on Jeff Wright and Company 92.9 FM.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices. At your DSW store or DSW.com.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10-7 through 12-1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day. Yeah, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
ESPN.
That music means that we welcome the Memphis Grizzlies Radio Network play-by-play announcer to the program. He, of course, is Eric Hasseltine. Grizzlies and Kings tonight. Pre-game at 6:30. Tip-off with Eric at 7 p.m. Eric, I know we keep looking for silver linings. I think, to me, the biggest silver lining is the defense does look a lot better with Zach Edey. I know it was a low bar, but it does, right?
Yeah, no, you're right about that. That's 100% accurate. And, look, it's hard to win in this league when you don't have your full complement of players. We know that. And the schedule hasn't helped them because it's been tough and it's been some high-level teams. You faced – the favorites in the East for the most part. You faced obviously the best team in the league. You faced a couple of the secondary favorites right now. But that's no excuse. And, they've given themselves chances to win at times and then just haven't been able to finish it out. And whether that's because of depth or whatever anybody else wants to, point the finger at, that is what it is. So the defense, it does look a lot different with Zach. It's just, he's got to be on a minutes restriction, so that's tough. But that's kind of where you have to try, like you said, to find silver linings as best you can. You got guys playing out of position. You don't have a true point guard. And that makes a massive difference. I mean, there's a reason it's the most valuable position in the league. So, tough times come sometimes and they too will pass, but you got to, it's obviously not a ideal spot, especially with how good the West is. However, there's still that lurking one spot left with six teams, kind of fighting for it, where the other nine teams are kind of separating themselves from that pack.
So Eric, this schedule is lightening up considerably here over the next couple of weeks. You go from a murderer's row and the Grizzlies did not fare well during that to now seven of your next nine, by my calculation, are against teams from the West that are below 500 and five of the next six. So, I mean, how close is this team, do you think, to maybe being able to make up some ground? Maybe, do we think we feel good about their chances of going 500 or better over these next couple of weeks?
Well, you hope. I mean, you feel like you can, but with the injuries, it throws a wrench into that a little bit, you know? Getting an injury to Ja Morant was the least ideal thing that could happen at this time, but you're hoping you get some good news about Ty Jerome coming soon and that Jaren's ankle situation isn't, you know, more than a few days, but, you know, we just never know. And so, yeah, you feel good about it, but as, you know, was discussed this morning and on a couple of the shows and all around, like, you face a Kings team tonight that's obviously going the wrong way, but, and I haven't looked at the updated injury report that just came out, but if Sabonis and Murray play, you've got a starting five that's got, you know, viable, long-time experienced guys against guys that are a little bit less experienced. So, you know, where does the edge go there? So you feel good about it. Winning on the road's tough, and there's still a lot of road games right now. So, I hate to say it this way, Cobb, because it sounds so cliche. You got to take it one night at a time right now.
Keegan Murray is expected to play. It looks like Murray is back tonight, but it'll be a season debut. So, like, I mean, is he going to be in peak form? I don't know, but like, that doesn't help the Grizzlies' case.
No, and look, it's not like Keegan Murray is going to come in and, you know, beat Kevin Durant. That's not who he is, but he's good, and he stretches the floor. And, you know, it's again, you've got DeRozan, LaVine, who kills the Grizzlies. And I don't know if Sabonis isn't on the injured list and last night was just a, you know, a give him a night off type thing, you know, then he's an all-star. And then, you know, you have a guy in Russell Westbrook, and then a lot of people are questioning what his motivation is to keep playing, whether it's just to get more numbers or whatnot. The one thing I know about that guy is when he steps foot on an NBA court, he plays his tail off. So he's not going to go out there and just lay down. So, you know, you hope you can find a little rhythm on the home court. You go to a team against Dallas that, you know, they looked solid when I watched a little bit of last night, better, but they're still without Anthony Davis last night. And, you know,
I've never seen a game end on an offensive foul, like on a layup. They called a hook. I don't think I'd ever seen that one. Like, I do. I think it was the right call. It's just like, I feel like that play happens every night.
Oh, it happens all the time. There's no doubt. But, you know, look, they're going to be rejuvenated with fans now feeling like, okay, they've alleviated what was bothering the franchise or whatever it may be with the firing of Nico Harrison. So what that does for them moving forward, they're still without Kyrie Irving, and Anthony Davis is still what he is. And the new regime's already saying we're listening to offers. So what will that look like? Who knows? But, you know, you go here, then to Dallas, back home to face Denver, who's obviously awesome. And then that's a big night Wednesday. It's a cup game. And the Pelicans are struggling. We know that. And if they were to find their rhythm in New Orleans the night before Thanksgiving, it sets up for a really interesting Friday night in L.A. because that cup game could put the Grizzlies potentially into the quarterfinals with the record that they have. So if there's a silver lining, that's it. But again, you got to get things in flowing on offense and more so on defense. And, you know, there's just, I from watching it, there's just a couple of times it seems like each quarter where the communication breaks down and guys are getting wide open looks. They've alluded to that. This is nothing that I'm being hyperly critical of. They're new guys, you know, playing together, but you can't have moments where, you know, you make the rotation switches and guys aren't on the same page when they come in. So where that falls, you know, who knows, but you got to go out tonight and try to fix some of the things that you feel like are plaguing the team and move forward and move on to Saturday.
How much of kind of the struggles to finish, how much do you think that's related to the fact that, you know, they do not have a point guard?
I think it's huge. You know, you got a steady hand, a guy that knows where his teammates are going to be, especially point guards that have played with the same guys for a while.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just something to be said about continuity. I believed it since the day I started covering this league, you know, 31 years ago, or maybe a little less, but around then, where you just see the same teams keeping guys and you know, running the same starters out there as best they can. It was obviously a different time back then. But I always said, like, when I first got here in 01, people were, I was like, you know, why are the Spurs so good? Tim Duncan certainly is awesome, but, you know, they got a rookie point guard in Tony Parker, and then they go get a Manu Ginobili and all these other things. And you're like, well, because if you notice, it's all the same guys every year. It's the same guys. And they add in a piece here, a piece there. When did San Antonio really go make a massive free agent splash? They tried. They tried to get Jason Kidd once upon a time, and he didn't go. But they kept their guys together, and they kept hanging banners because they had a system, they had a culture, they had the knowledge of how one another played alongside each other, and they did what the hardest thing Lionel Hollins once told me it is to do for a coach to get players to do, and that's they get accepted a role. All their roles. Yep. Get a role, accept it, be the best at it. And that's not easy. So there's something to that too. So, you know, again, I think when you don't have a point guard setting up the offense, understanding the intricacies and the way the offense really thrives, and players, you know, new faces, guys that, you know, Ja had struggles last year, and obviously he's not playing tonight, but remember early last year he had struggles with Edie not being ready for some passes.
Yeah.
Because Zach had never played with a guy like that. It's not Zach's fault per se. It's his natural instinct when he sees a guard elevate and look like he's going up for a shot to turn his back and go for the rebound, because that's his job. Except for you've got a guy that can elevate and hang in the air like he's got a chair underneath him. And when the defense collapses on him, he sees a wide open big man. He can throw a pass that very few humans can throw, but you're not ready to catch it. And so we've seen some of that too. So that's kind of what it all goes back to, when knowing what your teammates do, knowing where your teammates' strengths are, knowing how to get your teammates into scoring positions. That's the gift of a great point guard. You know, I always marveled in them, giving him credit, not just because we work with him, but Brevin Knight was so good when he was a guard at setting guys up. He was never worried about scoring, and the game was different back then. The scoring point guards were a luxury, but Brevin would constantly get double digits in assists because he knew where to put the ball, where his guys wanted it and where they needed it. And that's a big factor when you're playing that position in the NBA. If you're not a guy like a Shai Gilgeous-Alexander who goes and gets you 20 every night minimum, but also finds his teammates, you know, it's those guys that even Jokic knows where guys are. He doesn't average, you know, nearly 11 assists because they have the most elite shooters in the world and he just finds a jump shooter. He finds guys in their position to score. And that comes with time on the court together. That comes with time and practice together. And that comes with, you know, figuring out where your strength in the offense is. And that's why those guys are the special players that they are, because it's not an easy thing to do.
Well, a little bit of a silver lining in terms of, hey, the future here, because you're playing a Sacramento team tonight that I think has far worse vibes right now than even the Grizzlies.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, they're playing 36-year-old Russell Westbrook, and they're playing 36-year-old DeMar DeRozan, like 30-plus minutes a game and starting them, and they have no clear plan for the future. Meanwhile, yeah, things aren't going great for the Grizzlies, but, hey, we just saw Cedric Howard and Zach Edey start next to each other for the first time ever. And at least the makings of a future are there. At least, like, there's hope for what that continuity you describe in San Antonio could maybe look like.
The first 3 minutes on Tuesday were awesome.
Yeah, they were. They played really well. I mean, they played really well in the first quarter. It's, again, go back to Cleveland.
Yeah.
It was the same thing there. I mean, that was the start. That was the first start for the two of them. And for 3.5 quarters, you put a team that's a favorite in the East on their heels. I mean, they're missing some key pieces, you know, but so are the Grizzlies. Darius Garland's out. Okay, great. John Morant was out after 7 minutes. You know, Max Strus, one of their starters, is out. Okay, great. The Grizzlies are missing Ty Jerome and Brandon Clark, two guys that you were hoping would be real anchors of that second unit. So,
and one guy with inside information on the Cavs.
What's that?
And Ty Jerome had inside information on the Cavs,
inside
too. But we don't even use that.
Cavs. Yeah, right. Exactly. But it's, you know, you look at it and then you see what happens at the end. A star gets going. Now, I know people say, well, star didn't get going in San Antonio. They didn't have their start. Harrison Barnes has been around the league a long time and made a couple of tough shots against Jaren and then got an open three on a rotational play. But again, you know, those having veterans that have been in those situations matters. And when you break it down, maybe aside from Jaren, you know, Zach had a year. Cedric, if he's in the closing lineup, is a rookie, and you don't have a true point guard. Vince is playing point guard for the first time. It's a big difference. It matters. And, you know, they always talk about learning how to win. You got to learn how to win. And if you've learned how to win in one role and now you're in another role, you got to learn that role's part of winning, if that makes sense. And I'm not making excuses. It's tough for everybody. But, you know, I've yet to see an NBA team that walks out on the court and goes, boy, I hope we lose tonight. You know, boy, I really wouldn't mind if we just didn't give it our best type thing. So it's a bananas time. And, you know, I've told you guys, I've never seen a team, an organization go through the trials and tribulations that the Grizzlies have gone through when it comes to injuries over the last handful of years. It's just bananas.
All right, my man. Good luck tonight. We'll be listening.
I appreciate it, guys. You guys take care of yourself. Have a happy Thanksgiving, too. Enjoy the times with your families.
You do the same.
I'll be enjoying it in L.A. with the road family. Yeah, we'll be on the road. But I've gotten used to that. It's kind of par for the course. A long time ago, I told my family, I said, well, I don't think I'll see much of you guys on Thanksgiving moving forward doing this. But that's part of it, and that's why we do what we love to do.
All right, my man. Have a good call tonight.
All right, guys. Take care.
That is, of course, Eric Hasseltine, Memphis Grizzlies Radio Network play-by-play announcer. Of course, you can hear Grizzlies and Kings tonight right here on 92.9 FM ESPN with pregame starting at 6:30, tip-off at 7. Also going on right now, one of the best events of the year for jewelry shopping. We've got the Robert Irwin Jewelers Give Gifts and Get Gifts sale going on. And now through Saturday, if you spend $1,999 or more at Robert Irwin Jewelers, you get a free pair of Apple AirPod Pro 3s. There's also a huge diamond event going on right now. And this week only, all bridal jewelry is up to 50% off. Plus, if you mention that you heard about it right here on the Jeffrey Wright and Company show, you'll get an extra 10% off your bridal purchase. So again, make sure that you mention that you heard about it right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company. Also, they have great financing options, 12 months interest-free financing, or you can take up to 60 months to pay at a low APR. Bigger, brighter diamonds, all at better prices, 5 locations, or you can shop online at rijewelers.com. We come back. Let's get in the list. Let's talk some college football. We'll do that next right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.